Hey, all you Holly weirdos. Are you still up to go back to the mall and do some more shopping? Well, that's what we're going to do on today's episode as we revisit one of the most haunted malls in Los Angeles, the Beverly Center. Let's sit down with our friend Tim Roddy of the Tim Roddy Podcast as we revisit the haunts, the history, and any haunted updates. What has happened since he uploaded his episode with the interviews and history of the Beverly Center Mall? Has anyone else experienced anything new? Any new entities have popped up? Well, according to Tim, there may be another one that has been possibly caught on security cameras, and you definitely want to sit down to hear who or what it may be. So you know the drill. Grab some credit cards, some cash this time, along with that selenite and some salt. Wear a pair of your favorite comfortable walking shoes because we're going to do some walking and some shopping as we learn more of the haunts of the Beverly Center Mall. So let's get Holly Weird and shop at the Beverly Center Mall here in Los Angeles, California. Hey friends, before we enter episode 104, part 2 of the Beverly Center Mall with our friend Tim Roddy of the Tim Roddy Podcast, we highly recommend that you get caught up with part 1, just so you could get caught up with the ghost stories, the history, and the due diligence. Trust me, it is such a good episode. All right guys, we have another huge announcement. Hollywood Paranormal will be a part of the first annual Parapod Festival here in Los Angeles. It will be held in Santa Clarita from March the 31st through April the 1st of 2023. This is huge and we're so excited. So what is the Parapod Festival? Well, it's a festival that has something for everyone who's into the supernatural and of course the paranormal. There'll be speakers and panels talking about UFOs, Bigfoot, ancient civilizations, true crime, hauntings, and also there'll be workshops on breath work, crystals, and stargazing. Not to mention the biggest cherry on top is an actual haunted house tour in a ghost town that'll be led by Ben Henson. So we will be a part of a panel on April the 1st talking about the crimes and the ghosts of the Barclay Hotel, one of the most haunted and violent hotels in Los Angeles, with our friends Dr. Scott and Dr. Shiloh of LA Not So Confidential. We'll also be having a table with them so you could come and do a meet and greet with us and meet the other individuals that are in our community, such as Patty Negri. It's going to be so exciting, along with our friend Sydney of Beyond the Gravestone podcast. So where do we get tickets? Where do we learn more about the Parapod Festival? Simple. Head on over to parapodfestival.com to get more information and to purchase your tickets. There are still plenty of tickets for sale, and you definitely want to grab one before April the 1st. If you want to learn more about the festival itself, follow them on social media, then you can on Instagram at Parapod Festival on Instagram and Parapod Fest on Facebook. Now, you're wondering, where is it going to be held at? It will be held at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Valencia. So head on over once again to parapodfestival.com to get your tickets and to find out more info. And we usually plug this into our outro, but we want to plug it in right now. If you like Hollywood Paranormal, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us indie podcasters out. If you want to stalk us on social media, you can do so on Instagram and Facebook, along with TikTok at Hollywood Paranormal and Twitter at HWP Podcast. If you want to learn a little more about our podcast, such as reading our bios or shopping our merch store or joining our Patreon page for as little as $1 or more per month, you can head on over to our website, which is www.hollyweirdparanormal.com. Yes, if you can't get enough of Hollyweird Paranormal, then we highly suggest that you head on over to our Patreon page where you can learn more about what extra perks you'll receive when you donate to the podcast. You'll automatically be inducted into our secret podcast society of Saturday Night Ghost Club, which is a podcast where we actually interview friends and coworkers and acquaintances who have ghost stories to share. You'll also be gifted in pin stickers and coasters, and you'll get a shout out on a podcast episode of ours. And finally, if you have a ghost story you're dying to share with us, no pun intended, then save it and send it to us at hollyweirdparanormal@gmail.com because we'll love to use it for our next listeners' tales. And hint, hint, we're gearing up for another one. All right, friends, let's get Hollyweird with our friend Tim Roddy and the haunted Beverly Center Mall. Hey guys, welcome to Hollyweird Paranormal Podcast. We're your hosts, Tammy Merhab Chavez.
Hello, I'm Bryce Mitchell Williams.
We are greeted today by a wonderful guest. Yes. If you had listened to our past episode, we have Tim Roddy of the Tim Roddy Podcast on our show today to talk more about the hauntings and the history and possibly the aftermath of the Beverly Center Mall, which is now the most haunted mall in Los Angeles. Welcome to the podcast, Tim.
Ooh, thank you guys so much for having me, Tammy and Bryce. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys.
So Tim, since you've recorded that wonderful episode of your research, the history, the due diligence, the interviews of what everybody was experiencing at the Beverly Center Mall, like what more do you have to bring to the table? Like, what can you update us on?
Okay, so overall, kind of looking at it from a big picture, I think whatever was going on there supernaturally, it kind of shifted, at least for our sport. So there were things that had changed after, not necessarily the same experiences. So people haven't been hearing their name being called. They haven't really felt any like boxes being pulled out of their hand, like something that we had mentioned in the first episode. The energy seemed to mess a little bit with the temperature of the store and also just the overall mood. I feel like things have been kind of on edge. There's been a lot more anger, a lot more emotion just between coworkers and things like that. So I feel like it wasn't necessarily these one-off supernatural like experiences or paranormal experiences, that it's been more of just kind of the overall energy of the store. For since July up until maybe November, we haven't had any issues with like the heating or the cooling. And then all of a sudden it would get super hot, like unbearably hot. And then the next day it would be freezing cold. And we
don't think it has anything to do with possibly the mechanisms of, I guess, the ducts in the mall, or possibly just anything that is mechanically related.
There's always that possibility.
Right.
We had some of the guys from the mall come multiple times. I think they were getting annoyed with us. Just trying to figure out what they can do, just because even the shoppers were complaining. The clients were
Wow. Yeah.
That's so hot in here.
Oh, I bet.
On a daily basis. So we had them come in a few days in a row, and they said that there was nothing that they could do, that it was kind of out of their control at this point, that this thing was, it was controlled by the wing of the mall, and that nothing had changed. So that was really bizarre. And then something else, our guard that we had at the time, who was communicating with what we believe was one of the spirits in Spanish, he had told her that we would be leaving in December, and he got really sick over New Year's. Our move was delayed, so we're actually still in this temporary location. We were originally supposed to move in November.
Yeah.
And then December around New Year's is when he told her that we would be moving. And he had a really interesting experience, actually. He never calls in sick to work. He has been there for like 2 years and he had never called in sick. And he was out for like 5 days and he had like a 103 degree fever.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness.
He went to the hospital and they really didn't have an explanation. He was just like sweating. He just had this fever, no other symptoms or anything like that. And what's crazy about it is he kind of had this like vision and he swears that it was that woman, the energy of that woman that was kind of put something on him. Because wow. As he was sweating, as he was kind of like coming down from the fever, he just had like this dream and he could like kind of visualize her, like this woman. And he said that she was kind of a woman in white.
Now, refresh our listeners real quickly on the woman in the store, because that one was such an interesting story that was not felt and spoken of by just one person, but several people that work with you.
Are you asking about the woman in white, like in the lower levels, or the one pertaining to our store?
Oh, the store. Oh my God. There's more than one. I forgot.
How many are there? Oh my God.
They're just small walkers. The woman in heels. Yeah.
No, they're
the one with the shopping bags
the whole time. Yeah. Oh, our Skechers. We're fine.
Okay. So the woman in our store was kind of like the main character of this whole scenario. So she was the first one that we discovered back when we were moving in. The very first day, my coworkers had heard some heels walking down the hallway by our back door. And it's like concrete. So he could hear heels, and the way that she walked, it was going from one end of the hallway to the other. And there was nowhere else that she would go, and no one passed by, even though that they heard the sound of the heels continuing down the hallway. So that was the very first experience. And you're just kind of like, oh, well, you know, it could be something else or an echo. But then when that would continue to happen, that's when things got weird. And we heard them in other areas in our stockroom, for example. So we had one of our managers, her cousin is a sensitive, and she had never physically been to the store, but we would send her pictures and videos and she would FaceTime with my coworker. And she was able to tune in, and she, without knowing any of the details of the things that we were experiencing, she was able to tune in. And she said that there was a woman wearing a red dress and heels, which was super creepy, because then that confirmed what we were hearing, the heels walking on the floor. And we dug for a little bit more information. She said that the woman was of, I think, Mexican descent, and she spoke Spanish. And she was wearing a red dress. And we tried to get what era, because that would help us to try to dig to see if there were any deaths in that area or just in the mall in general. And what we gathered, it was probably like in the 80s or 90s. Like, it didn't seem current day based off of how she was dressed. And that she was kind of hanging out in our fitting room area. There's like a hallway before you walk back into the stock room. And that she seemed like she was waiting for someone, or just kind of passing the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And the woman downstairs, that's just a completely different entity then compared to this one that is upstairs. Is that correct?
Yes. So this one, I actually want to try to learn a lot more about, because apparently she was captured on video footage.
Stop. No way.
Someone that works at the mall that I know said that she was captured on video footage. And I
Oh my God.
And apparently that she saw it with her own eyes too.
No.
Is that like security footage, or someone like had a phone, or?
I believe security footage.
Oh my God.
But apparently this is the woman in white. So we have a woman in red and then a woman in white.
Oh, it's so Alice in Wonderland. I live.
Oh my God. Because I kept on thinking about the woman in red that I kept on hearing the story about, but yeah, this is a different one. That is insane. Oh, it's always a woman in white.
That she was seen in the valet area. So the lower, like the ground level of the mall.
Wow.
Now, we have the woman in the red dress, the woman in white. And I'm trying to remember if there is another entity that, the Foot Locker entity. There's another children ghosts, right? Your favorite, Bryce.
Yeah, hard pass. Absolutely out.
The people in Foot Locker were experiencing other entities as well that didn't fit the description of either of these women. Is that correct?
Yes. So apparently I've heard, and I haven't talked to them directly, but employees from Foot Locker would come in and that they would notice that the shoes were on the ground and that there was no cleaning staff or anyone that had put them there. And when they were leaving at night, everything was put in place. So I guess this would happen pretty often to where they would be surprised coming in, noticing that there was something weird going on and that the shoes were kind of ending up on the ground.
Oh my God. But if a ghost was like making my job more difficult, I would lose my mind.
I know.
Like do whatever you're going to do, but do not move the inventory. Like absolutely not. That is like a hard pass.
So after our episode, I had a message from someone who used to work in that Foot Locker, and I'm going to read what he wrote. So he said, everything that Tim mentioned in his episode is absolutely 100% correct. There is something weird going on in that mall. I worked in Foot Locker between 2011 and 2013 or 14. I was always the one that was in charge of opening. I was the key holder. And yes, we would see shoes everywhere. Primarily, the shoes from the children's section were mostly on the floor. People from my closing staff would state that they would swear to me that they would see all the shoes against the wall before they locked up and left. One of them in particular, part of the closing staff, mentioned that one night it was her and another worker, and they could have sworn they saw or heard what sounded like children running around throughout the store. And it was very odd because obviously there's no one in the store. It's locked. Mm. So I just felt that that was really, really crazy how that correlated with our experience. Mm. But yes, that place is 100% haunted. And it makes sense now because of that theme park. And you are right. The Beverly Park was a place that once stood where the Beverly Center stands to this day. And it was a beautiful and popular park back in the day that inspired Walt Disney to create Disneyland here in California. That is crazy. I know. So that, see, already we have like a confirmation and someone who's like, yep, there I worked there. And it's so true, but it makes sense for him now. He's like, oh, it makes sense why I heard like they hurt children. And it's kind of odd how it correlates to the shoes being, you know, being in the children's section falling to the ground.
And what is also weird is the same psychic that I had mentioned earlier that kind of tuned into our space. Aside from the main woman in red, she picked up on two children also.
Oof.
And she was able to describe them. One was taller than the other. One was wearing like a blue striped shirt, like probably between 9 and 12, I think she said, and that they would hang out in certain sections of the mall. Certain sections of the mall. And then she was more particular with certain sections in our store, like our water fountain in the back and especially towards the entrance. And something else that was weird is the energy that she picked up on the children was that they were more like passing through. Like they weren't necessarily stuck there, that it just seemed like it was this area of people coming and going, more like how you mentioned before, it being like a playland or something, you know, kids were playing jokes and things like that.
Right.
Which totally goes along with what you just said.
And someone else also sent us a message too that really kind of like sparked something in my head that could be in relation to this. What is across the street from the Beverly Center is the Cedars-Sinai Center, which is a huge hospital. And that could possibly get some visitors to the mall, if you know what I mean. And then we have the oil that is underneath the mall, because that is so crazy that that huge wall that I've seen when I used to work there, I was like, what are they doing? I thought it was construction. No, it's an actual oil well that they're still like producing oil out of this well next to this mall. And it just baffles me. Like, we have this energy flow, this energy line. We had this location that used to be a theme park for children that was very, very popular. And now we have this hospital. So it's like this like trifecta of energy. And then of course, you also research the deaths. There were several deaths that happened either within this mall or outside this mall. And it was one of a famous rapper in front of a restaurant. And I think a couple of suicides of people who had jumped to their death from the parking lot, from the parking structure, because that structure is high. That is,
girl.
Yeah, yay high. Yeah,
and I was told that's why they put kind of the design with the new refurbishment, like how it kind of has that design so people can't jump.
Oh, because you were trying to find, yeah, because I remember you were trying to find more research on people who have jumped. And I think through security guards, you were like, no, they have, but because, you know, the mall does this great job of hiding things. That you're like, actually, this is a reason why, yeah, they put those things in place. And then as of recently, you even mentioned there was someone who passed away who took their own lives inside of Forever 21 too. And that was, and you were there, you were present when that happened.
Yeah, I was actually working that day.
Oof.
Yeah, it was, I remember seeing that on the news. So it was an executive from Forever 21 who went in there one morning and didn't come out. So yeah, I remembered like when I went there a couple months later, like that dressing room was completely closed off because that's where he ended his life apparently. And workers there, Tim, I have another message for you. So a shout out to Millie, who used to work at Forever 21. She writes, you know, I usually don't like working retail, but this retail job I really didn't like. And it wasn't just the customers. It was actually because there was some weird juju that was going on there in that mall. We always had a bad feeling in those dressing rooms and especially in the stock room. No one wanted to be by themselves closing and cleaning up in the dressing room area and also restocking by themselves in the stock room area. After the passing of that executive, we started to feel very depressed around the dressing rooms. So we don't know if he's still lingering around or if there's a residue of him that's still there. But ever since then, we just don't like being around the dressing rooms. Yes, you were right. The dressing rooms were closed for a very long time, but now they're open back up. And we still get this nasty feeling every time we pass by those dressing rooms. I still have friends that work there and they still feel a sense of dread around that area, Millie. That's pretty intense. Yeah. I mean, like the feedback from that episode is just unbelievable when I was looking through these messages. And I mean, you have literally people, former workers validating like what they felt. And I guess that if it's like this justification that you definitely delivered, like, no, I was right. I was right.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew it this whole time. Like, I didn't like this location of the mall. People were even commenting about the elevators. People hated being near the elevators. There's something about the elevators that they didn't like. So I wasn't sure if you heard any stories in regards to the elevators as well.
Well, there is one horror story with the valet escalator or elevator, and that's just because it stops working randomly. Is it goes from 0 to 7 and there's no in between floors. So there have been times when my coworker has been trapped in it and it's just like turned off and you're stuck there. And then
Oh my God.
So that is scary in itself and not super paranormal related.
So since the podcast, has there been any updates, but has it just been quiet or has anyone else felt or seen the woman? Was it just the security guard that just went to the hospital and had that terrible bout of sickness?
So like I said, overall, it feels like the energy has just changed. It's been interesting because we haven't really gotten any direct communication through the smells that we had before or hearing our name being whispered. It's just seemed like the energy overall, it seemed more on edge, a little bit more angry, people just being a little bit upset. Overall. So I'm really interesting to see how it changes. I know the next retailer that's moving in soon. So I'm excited to see, it's supposed to be Mango and they're supposed to be moving in. Nice. So I'm curious to see with all of the construction, if that kind of brings up anything again.
Are you guys moved
out?
Just
so much.
Not yet. So it could be like any day now. Mm. So it's really like the last few days, but it's really been interesting looking at the whole time we were there since July, like the first half and how it was so different than the second half. But I still believe that there's a lot going on there for sure.
Well, and with so much transition coming, there's just so much that's like churning up right now. So it makes sense that like there would be a different energy now as things are like transitioning through.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah. I want to go back to the security guard who was sick. And from what I'm feeling, like what could possibly happen is he could be a conduit to what this woman went through. It could be a possibility that he got sick because he's reeling or feeling the motions of what she probably went through before her passing. Maybe she passed away due to an illness that he is now, you know, feeling and is going through. Maybe he, I mean, based on what you're saying, like to me, it sounds like he is pretty sensitive and very, very empathic to the point where he is literally taking on this energy that is, it could be affecting his health or it could be mirroring what it went through before his or her passing. So that could be a hypothesis to what he is going through, but is he doing fine? Was he able to recoup and recover?
Yeah, he's totally fine now. And he doesn't really enjoy talking about this stuff. And I believe he is sensitive because he shared with me certain experiences that he's had. So I think he kind of just, you know, turns a blind eye to it. But I definitely think, and he definitely says that he kind of had that connection with her. He saw that vision and he really thinks that's why he was sick. And the timing was perfect when he said we would be out in December and it was New Year's and that's when he got sick and he just could have sworn that's why.
Wow. Yeah, he definitely has a lot of capabilities and sensitivities. So definitely. I'm very curious to know how he was able to communicate. So it was just through vision and speaking to her, you know, telepathically, I'm assuming. And maybe that's what he was feeling. Yeah, it was just probably that anger and remorse in a way. Maybe she kind of, probably you guys grew on her in a way. Who knows? Mm. She's just upset that you guys are leaving her now.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she's learned to like us after this.
Any more experiences like that you never mentioned in your episode that you could remember?
So I have heard, I'm just going to tell the story again super quick, that there was a woman that was found apparently somewhere in an office who had worked there. It was a death. It was from one of the janitors that had mentioned that she was found after a couple days in her office somewhere. So wondering, that's kind of what I want to dig in and find out if that could possibly be this woman that's in our store. Mm-hmm. In red. And also I had talked to someone who works at Aldo and they had confirmed that they have a bunch of weird things going on.
Oh no, what is Aldo going through? They're like, we have to constantly pick up shoes, belts, sunglasses. Yeah. What is Aldo experiencing there?
They just said late at night that it gets really weird. People don't want to be on the sales floor and they feel like they're constantly being watched.
Oof. And like, again, ghosts, like sales jobs are already hard enough. Like, I know. Don't make it more difficult than it already is.
I was going to say, someone after you posted the podcast, someone reached out to me and she may have reached out to you too. I was reading it and she said that she is sensitive and that she came to the mall a couple months ago. And as she was walking past our temporary store, that she kind of had this nauseous feeling and felt a little uneasy, and that she felt the same way outside of Gucci too.
Interesting. And they're all on the same level, right? They're all on the sixth level?
Where we've had all of this activity, this is the sixth level. And we're normally on the seventh, which I personally haven't experienced anything on the seventh, but the area of sixth seems to be like highly concentrated with where we're at.
It's so fascinating that everybody has had some sort of weird experience there, and then other people didn't, but it's really interesting to see and hear like the messages and hear the stories of what people felt when they used to work in those areas. I worked in Bloomingdale's from 2009 to barely 2010. And yeah, there were some of us that hated closing because the mall took a different like atmosphere and feeling. Like it just felt like, okay, it's your time to go. Like you got to get out. Like it's time for you to leave. You know, this is going to be my space. You kind of felt that way. And it's just really interesting to finally hear, like, there are some people who had pretty elaborate experiences within the walls of that mall. I also read too that there was another passing that was, I think it may have been either outside of the mall or in front of it, or I think near the valet area once again, that it was the hit and run of the co-host of the podcast She Rates Dogs. I believe it was like, yeah, it was in 2019. He was hit by someone who was driving a BMW, and the driver stopped and then continue moving on. And ever since then, they haven't been able to capture the driver, but the poor gentleman died in hospital just shortly after he was hit.
So if you're listening to this episode, turn yourself in immediately.
Seriously. But yeah,
we're on that case.
But yeah, it's just like, it just amazes me how much just occurs in and around this one area. And I'm wondering, like, what could that be? Like, what is it just attracting all of this negativity? Is it just the people that is there creating this type of energy? Who knows?
And I'm even super curious about the ghost wing part of it too.
Oh my gosh, talk about the ghost wing, please, because this is like really interesting.
ghost wing.
So I found out that there's this whole half of the mall that's completely closed off, it's been my mission to try and see it. So getting around the mall is a little complicated, so using my head, I was trying to figure out, now how can I get to this part, go through this back hallway, and I end up finding a way. It's on the 8th floor, and I walked back there, and basically it's the old food court. There's an outdoor patio too. I had never seen the mall before it was recently renovated. I think it was like 2015 or 2016.
Yeah.
And I've never seen when that part was open, but for the last almost 10 years, this area has been completely blocked off. And when I went back there, it was all empty. Wow. It was nighttime, so you could see the whole city. They have these big, beautiful windows. There's these skylines above you. And I'm just thinking, why has this area not been used for almost a decade? It's beautiful. And one of the common complaints about the mall is that there's no food there. There's a Starbucks now, and there's a couple other coffee shops and things like that. But I'm just curious as to why they wouldn't develop it.
I remember when I was there, I ate at a Sbarro's when it was open. And then literally, like, I think it was in like, late 2009 when they finally closed the food court, and they're like, oh, we'll open in 2 years. And it's like, sorry, 2 years too short. I guess because it's 2023 and they still haven't even opened it. But I'm so surprised, given that, I mean, that is part of a tourist destination. There's a lot of tourists that, you know, go over there and shop, and they can't get anything to eat, so you have to go across the street. I believe that there used to be a Barnes and Noble across the street. I don't know if it's still open, and a TJ Maxx and Marshall's and a Soup Plantation. So
we love Soup Plantation.
I know, seriously. But yeah, I remember it was just a couple of coffee shops. Shout out to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf for making my medicine balls when I still had to go to work sick. The joys of working in retail, I'll never forget. Thank you, Bloomingdale's. But Tim, we can move forward into your podcast. Tell us a little more about the Tim Roddy podcast, because I've been listening to a couple episodes. And of course, my favorite one is that one of the Beverly Center Mall, of course, the hauntings, but you also invite a lot of spiritualists and crystal healers and psychics onto the podcast. What made you want to start this podcast, and what inspired you?
Well, thank you. So basically, this started in 2020. It was kind of like my COVID project. So as we all had a lot of extra time on our hands, I started thinking about what I like to do. And I love to learn about different people's experiences, mostly paranormal, but I love just energy in general, because I look at the paranormal as a form of energy. I look at our own energy field and the ways that we can kind of manipulate or help our energy field, our aura. Just everything that is involved with that. So yeah, this started in 2020. I love exploring, looking at different modalities of healing, talking to different people who, whether they're doing sound healing or energy work, or just have paranormal stories, just kind of digging in and seeing what they have to share.
Yes, I've listened to a couple of some of the podcast episodes, and a lot of your guests are definitely all about that life for sure.
Yeah.
Have you ever had anything personal happen to you, you know, paranormal wise, that you couldn't explain before working at the Beverly Center?
Yeah. So the first experience that I ever had, I was young. I was probably in high school. It was me, my sister, and two of our cousins, and we had like a sleepover in the backyard. So it was like nice. You're like in a tent, it's the full experience, and then you can go in the house whenever.
Yeah.
Luxurious kind of camping. So we were just taking a bunch of pictures. And the next day, as you do back in whatever year it was, you kind of plug in the cord to the computer, and then you have to upload them to the computer. So you're like looking at them all, and we saw like a ton of orbs. And I know a lot of times it can be dust or just things like that. So we're scrolling through, and immediately we look to the desk, and there's like a cup with pens and pencils on it. And immediately it just starts spinning on its head like this, just kind of in a rotating motion. And the pens and pencils would have fallen out. There was no one touching the desk, and all four of us saw it. So that was like the first moment I've ever had a super like unexplainable encounter.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what I've always been interested in, this kind of stuff, but that was the most like surreal moment, especially when you experience something with some other.
Yeah, you're like, it's happening. I knew it. It wasn't just dust. It's happening right now. What you thought could have caused that? I mean, was it the house or possibly a spiritual passerby?
Actually, my mom was kind of in the hallway at the time, and we were just talking about the orbs, and my mom said, oh, you know, that's your great grandmother like looking over you.
Aww.
It was really touching, and it never felt weird. It was actually in my bedroom, because otherwise I would have been super creeped out and never wanted to again. So honestly, it felt really nice, and I do believe that that was it. But yeah, so that's kind of what that was. A few other experiences. I was driving close to Griffith Park one time, and I feel like I had like a weird time slip.
Oh, I love hearing these types of stories. I love hearing about these types of stories. Go ahead, please.
So I'm leaving work, different mall, the Glendale Galleria.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be the next episode.
Yeah. But,
yes.
Driving home, it's after like 10 p.m. I just got off of work, and I am going onto the on-ramp. Going south on the 5. So I'm about to turn onto the freeway, and I notice on my right side that there's this old vintage car. It was like purple. It was probably like from the 50s or something, a huge like boat sized vintage car. And it continues straight, and I'm in the turning lane about to turn onto the on-ramp to the 5. Yeah. So it continues to go straight. I'm not thinking anything of it, and it's a long on-ramp. So I'm driving probably 30 seconds. And as soon as I merge onto the freeway, I keep going, and I notice that the same car passes me by on the left side on the freeway.
So weird.
And there's no other way that this car could have gotten onto the freeway. It was the same exact purple car, and it passed me by.
Oh.
Like, what are the odds to see that type of model, color, and style? And you know, like, wait, I just saw that car.
I remember even looking at the license plate and I was freaked out because it was like the same thing. Like the letters were, the first three letters were the same. Oh. So I was so freaked out.
Mm-mm. Especially like to experience that while you're driving, like, am I safe? Like, what is happening?
I know. Am I in another version of Jeepers Creepers? Like,
yeah, like, oh, fun? God, just like take my car. It's fine. Whatever.
Oh. Yeah, Griffith Park is another different story. I mean, it takes on its own character late at night, too. Yeah, I used to go to a couple concerts and like I would shoot the shit with my friends, you know, tailgating after the show. And then once you exit, it's just it's the oddest thing. And mm-hmm. when you see a fog roll through that park, it's even more eerie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys had any experiences there?
I haven't had any experiences there in Griffith Park, but you just feel like there is something there. Mm-hmm. I've shot a commercial and I shot a movie there. I worked wardrobe and we were there. Like, I mean, we're doing the night shoots and there was one particular night where we had the fog come in and it just takes on this different life in that area. You just felt it. People wanted to leave super early. They're like, can we hurt? And it wasn't because of the fog. They're like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to be here anymore any later. Like, we're done. But I think it's the haunted hayride that they have over there at the park. Is it there at Griffith Park when they hold the haunted hayride, I believe?
I don't remember.
Yeah. The old zoo, kind of the LA.
Yeah. So I don't know if you remember Chantal Bryce from ADA. Yeah.
Yes,
so I had an assistant, Chantal, who was just amazing. And the girl, like, man, she had 3, 4, 5 different jobs. The girl hustled. Yeah. And she got a job doing the haunted hayride. So she was one of the scare actors and she was portraying there's a storyline in the hayride where you pass a specific tree in the park. And it's a story about how these girls were found hanging in the tree and their spirits are trying to avenge each other's death. And they come out with knives and they try to like scare you and try to kill you. So she's playing one of these like, yeah, zombie girls. And she said that it was two teams. It was 3 girls. They both had teams to kind of like rotate certain nights. So one of them would get a certain break. And she said that the first group went up first to act that one night to you know, dress up as the girls. And then she would come in and one of the girls told her, yeah, just don't be by yourself behind that tree. And she's like, why? She's like, I don't know. I felt someone tapping my shoulder and I heard someone calling my name behind me when I was getting ready to do my scare. And I turned around thinking it was my castmates and they were way ahead of me. So she was like, I don't know who was behind me. I don't know who was tapping my shoulder, but it just freaked me out. And so Chantal thought, oh, probably she was trying to scare her. But it turned out that while Chantal was about to go out to do, you know, her scare for the next ride that was coming through, she said that she felt as though someone was behind her kind of tugging on her hair. Mm-mm. So she was like, nope, no one was behind me. And that was a nope. I think like I was done for the night. I wanted to like leave. I wanted to get out of costume, but that was it. But she was like, yeah, I felt that. Like it wasn't a joke. That was real. There's mm-mm. something in that park. So yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, something that had been there in the land way before it became Griffith Park, or it could be something else. Who knows?
And I forget the complete story, but I know that they mentioned back in the day when it was like more farmland that there was a curse that was put on the land.
Yeah.
And the only other experience I have, it was in Los Feliz, which it was kind of nestled up close to Griffith Park. Yeah. It was at Walt Disney's house.
Oh, wow.
Went on a tour there last year. And while we were on like this guided tour, we were upstairs in one of the bedrooms and there was a man next to me and he felt a tap on his leg.
Oh, wow.
And he thought that it was me and he didn't say until we were all outside, but he was like, oh, you tapped me inside, right? Because I was standing right next to him. It was a small room, so we were all pretty close together. And I said, no, like I had never touched him. And he said that he definitely felt something.
Oh, no. See, now this should be your next episode, Tim. Yeah. You gotta do the research on that house. Oh, that's
we'll
right.
We'll have to all go explore it.
Yeah. No tapping. No, Walt Disney, leave me alone.
No, go back to Disney. So that's
do you
right.
notice, Tim, do you notice, obviously we all sort of have like our retail voices and our regular voices and like our lives are very separate from our work lives. Do you notice a difference in the experiences that you've had that are centered at the mall versus the ones you've had in your personal life, or do they kind of affect you the same way?
Oh yeah, good question.
That is a really good question.
Guys, stop. It's Walt Disney.
I feel like at work, it's been more of just the energy. I feel like I'm not really paying attention. It's almost like I have blinders on, which sure. I know for a lot of people, that's when they have the experiences, is when you're not really paying attention. But out of everyone in the store, I actually had the least experiences. I was most interested with the least experiences. So I'm constantly going up and asking people, oh, what did you have happen? So I think it was more like blinders, even though I was interested, I didn't have the most direct experiences. And then something else to relay it back to the woman in red, the woman that we had in our store that we found interesting was that she spoke Spanish and that most of our staff speak Spanish. And the people who didn't have many experiences also didn't speak Spanish, which is pretty interesting.
That was my next question too. Yeah.
I've been doing Duolingo for almost 2 years, so like I'm pretty fluent now. Fine.
I gotta hear. Can you share this with us, Bryce, so that you learned?
No, absolutely not. Deep, hard. One time, this is a completely unrelated story, but I didn't fight with my ex-boyfriend that often. But one of our like more ridiculous, dramatic fights was because I was like practicing my Duolingo, and he like made fun of the way I was like pronouncing it, and I like lost it. I was like crying. I was super embarrassed.
Aww.
So that's super stable. I'm fine. Yeah, no, I will not be saying any Spanish words today, thank you.
I used to speak Spanish fluently when I was a child, and I lost touch because my teachers would complain to my parents that I was talking to my classmates in Spanish too much. So I had, and it was crazy because, you know, my mom would continuously, and my grandmother who was living with us at the time would continuously communicate with me in Spanish, but rarely English too. Mm. And so it was like had to be a strict rule in the household from then on, like we got to speak English, which really sucked because then I ended up forgetting a little bit of my Spanish. So yeah, I know how you feel, Bryce, because there are times where I'm trying to talk to my husband in Spanish. He's like, actually, you pronounce it like this. I'm like,
oh my
no,
God.
No, okay.
I would divorce him on the spot. I'd be like, it's over. I'm so sorry. I can't do this.
Well, now you guys can practice your Spanish.
Yeah, we'll come to the mall.
Oh, no judgment.
Practice our Spanish.
No, go to your store. Like, we're going to practice our Duolingo with the woman in red.
Yeah,
in
the back, so just like, oh my God, hurt. These assholes are here again. Like,
what? I know. Right. Well, Tim, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast. Thank you so much for allowing us to share your stories, your episode, and your coworker stories. Please keep us in touch with any other updates.
Yes.
And I'll definitely keep you in touch with any other stories that come our way. But it was a really interesting feedback. It was really cool to really read these other accounts, because that is a big thing. When they all align, you know that something's up.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find you and stalk you, and where can they listen to your podcast?
So my podcast is called Tim Roddy the Podcast. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you guys listen to your podcasts. And I post any updates that I have on my Instagram. It's Tim_Roddy. And yeah, that should be everything. And thank you guys so much. Honestly, it was so nice chatting with you. And thank you guys for having me on your podcast.
Of course. Keep us posted with any other updates, with any other research. I'm now more intrigued to learn more about the woman in white.
Yeah.
The lady in red and the woman in white. So
yeah.
Can't wait to hear more about them. Once again, Tim Roddy, of the Tim Roddy podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. And guys, keep it Holly weird. We have another secret guest next week. that we're going to keep a little hush hush. But yes, we'll definitely keep you guys posted with any other updates on Tim Roddy's end. And of course, if we hear any more ghost stories from the most haunted mall in Los Angeles, the Beverly Center. And if you ever see a woman dressed up in white, that's Bryce trying to look for his contact or trying to practice his Duolingo.
You know, I'm just looking for the secret like food court. Like, where's my pretzel? Like, oh my God. Like, that's not a ghost. I just want a pretzel. Like, no, no, no. We're good.
Take care, guys. And thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you, guys.